All right. We made it, everyone. The summit. The peak. Chapter 18 of the Bhagavad Gita. And man, do things get interesting here.
Definitely interesting. Meta, even.
Exactly. We're diving deep into the yoga of liberation and renunciation. But before we get into the thick of it, I gotta ask, after 17 chapters, how's everyone feeling? You know, about diving into this last one.
It's a big one, that's for sure.
Yeah. Are you feeling that, like, weight of expectation? Or more of that, okay, let's see how this all comes together kind of energy?
Right. Like, how does it all actually, you know, end?
For sure. Because this isn't some neat little bow on top of a present. This chapter is about the yoga of liberation and renunciation. And those are some pretty loaded terms, even outside the world of the Gita.
Yeah, they really are.
So how would you explain those terms within this specific context? What kind of freedom are we talking about here?
So imagine a liberation that goes beyond just, you know, external stuff. It's about breaking free from the things that hold us back inside. Those attachments, the desires that come from our ego, that feeling of being separate from everything else. It's about realizing who we really are deep down and seeing how connected we are to something bigger. And renunciation, that doesn't mean ditching everything and living in a cave.
Right, right.
It's more about letting go of that tight grip we have on things,
right?
Possessions, yeah, but also outcomes and even those limiting beliefs we carry around.
It's amazing, really, how something written so long ago can feel so incredibly relevant now. Like that idea that true freedom starts internally by changing our perspective instead of running from everything.
Totally. It's a timeless message.
And it's wild to think about how Krishna uses this last chapter to basically summarize everything he's been teaching. It's not just a recap, though, is it?
No, not at all. It's more like he's handing us that final puzzle piece so we can finally see the whole picture.
Exactly. And the pieces he chooses to focus on, knowledge, action, and devotion. They seem like simple words, but there's so much depth there, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you think about how they all work together. What really struck me was how the Gita doesn't present these as separate paths, but as threads that are woven together on the road to liberation. How would you say the Gita shows us that connection?
Oh, it's beautifully intertwined. You know how the Gita loves its metaphors. Well, there's this one where it compares these three things to a fire sacrifice. So knowledge is the actual offering you make. The action is the ritual itself. And then devotion is that powerful intention behind it all. The Gita makes it very clear that knowledge without action is just wasted potential, like having a seed but never planting it.
It's all just theory without application.
Exactly. And action without knowledge, that can lead us down some pretty confusing paths, like trying to navigate a maze without a map.
Been there.
And then there's devotion. That's like the crucial thread that holds everything together. It's the focus, the dedication that fuels both our pursuit of knowledge and the way we act on it. It's what guides us towards that ultimate liberation.
It's like picturing Arjuna on the battlefield, right? His knowledge of Dharma tells him what to do, but it's his devotion to Krishna that gives him the strength to actually fight.
Absolutely. And it's not just some ancient story either.
Right. It's playing out all around us.
Think about it.
So do you see examples of these principles in the modern world? Like, where can we see this happening around us today?
Oh, everywhere. Take a doctor, for example.
Yeah.
Their knowledge of medicine is their offering. Their actual practice is the action, and the compassion they have for their patients, that's their devotion. They're not renouncing the world. They're finding a new way to exist within it.
Such a perfect example. It's not about escaping our lives, but transforming how we show up in them. And that reminds me of how the Gita talks about this ongoing conversation, that continual engagement with its teachings. It's like it's telling us that this isn't something you just read once and put away, but a lifelong companion.
100%. And the more we delve into that wisdom, the more layers we uncover.
So as we're reaching the end of this deep dive into the Bhagavad Gita, what really stands out to me is that this idea that it's a lifelong journey of self-discovery. And it's less about having all the answers and more about continually asking the right questions.
Yes, and embracing the transformative power of knowledge, action, and devotion in our daily lives, not just as concepts, but as ways of being.
Exactly. So as we move forward from this final chapter, from this incredible exploration of the Gita, what's the one idea that sticks with you? What wisdom from the Gita will you carry with you? How will you apply it to your own unique journey? Think about it, and thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive. Keep that conversation going.